can tell that their children did not do well. The first one is Pastor Moses, the only man that saw God face to face. But his children did not inherit the covenant. In fact, there was a time God was going to kill the children because they were not circumcised. If you study the scriptures, his children did not do well. When Israel sinned, Moses went before the Lord, "Father, delete my name from the book of life." When Moses sinned, nobody interceded. If all the women had gone before the Lord, "Father, forgive our pastor," at least the Bible would have written it. Nobody. "Pastor, you are on your own." So please don't kill yourself because of church. Once in a while, carry your family. Go away. If you still meet the church, you are a success. But if you cannot afford to miss one Sunday, then the church is built around you. And success without succession is practical failure. One day, my husband and I thank God our kids are gone now. We went to Paris. And we had to do boat cruise. When I saw the Onyibos, how they were placing their heads on their husbands. Me too, I carried my own. I said, "Church members are not here. Let me enjoy you." Yes. Some pastors' wives are in pain. I told them in Ghana, "Pastor, touch your wife." Some pastors' wives are in pain. When the ministry first started, what did I not see? What name did they not call me? I'm used to criticism. If you come to Ondo State, I'm sure I'm the most criticized woman there. It was strange for a woman to be preaching when we got there 31 years ago. Today, I thank God. I thank God. Please, I beg of you. I remember a few months after the church started, one woman said that I was ugly and that I don't fit my husband. That my husband wears suits. She doesn't know how we get the suit. She does not know that I will stand. We will go to those Hausa boys. I will stand on the road side. My husband will be fitting the suits. I will say, "Darling, no, the green one. The green." If somebody was passing, "Hello, Sister Finca, how are you?" I say, I'm blessed. "Why are you here?" "I'm waiting for somebody." They didn't know. They thought he was bringing those suits from abroad. We did not even have passports. Passports we didn't have. Not talk of going abroad. But I couldn't afford. He was the pastor, so he must be seen. And I was making sacrifices. I would take my children to Okirika. I had only one pair of shoes per year. I didn't say per month. And we vowed not to steal. So I told some people recently, I said, "If you envy me, you are a witch. Because the Bible says, if I suffer with him, I will reign with him. I have suffered. Where were you when I was suffering?" Those days, I was very rascally. So when I heard, when that woman said that I didn't fit my husband, that I know fine, me too, I went. I said, "I may not be fine, oh, but I know the person where I find pass." Some of us as pastors, wives, and women in ministry, we are suffering. We are going through a lot. So you should be there as a man to defend your wife. When you get to the bedroom, you can chastise her, you can rebuke her. But defend her, protect her, help her. This should be the order. God first, your family next, then ministry or career third. Because the home was founded in the book of Genesis. The church was not born until the book of Exodus. That's the order. And Bishop Pastor, in case you don't know, the only person that may not leave you is your family. Anybody can leave your ministry. We thank God for you, sir. You are the Elijah of our time. 5 years after check, they have gone to start Okechukwu and Sons Christian Center. The Lord Combat International Holiness Church. As a reaction. So you better invest into your children. Do not live your life in such a way that your children will reject your God. Look at number two, Pastor Eli. Or Bishop Eli. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, look at verse 22. Eli was very old, 1 Samuel 2, and had all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He said to them, why do ye such things? I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, it is no good report that I hear. You made the Lord's people to transgress. Look at verse 29. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, God was speaking, and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. And God says, they that honor me, I will honor. Eli was busy with church. See his children. Look at Samuel. I'm not speaking to the singles tomorrow, but I want to drop this. Be careful who lays hands on your head, particularly on your wedding day. Be careful who joins you on your wedding night. Eli mentored Samuel. See what happened to him too. His children too didn't serve God. Samuel's children too did not serve God. Your head is the most important part of your body. You can do heart transplant, leg transplant, anything transplant, but not head transplant. In fact, in our ministry, we don't follow the normal confessions on wedding day. For better, for worse, in sickness. No, we don't do it. I rewrote everything. You want to join you? This is what you say. I take thee, or I take you, as my wedded husband. In prosperity, in blessings, in progress, in joy, and together we stand against poverty, against sickness. Somebody wrote it, so why must we continue to in poverty, in sickness, till death do us part? No. No. Because you are what you say. On your wedding day, when the angels of God are at attention to take it, say in poverty. Poverty. No wonder the man is poor. No, no. Not at all. Be careful who joins you. If your parents insist that you must come to a church and you don't have a say, this is my advice. Honor your parents. But before that day, come to your man of God. The two of you kneel down. Let him lay his hands on your head. Let him tell you to say it after. So that one will just be formality, ordinary, saying, saying, saying. Because some churches, some parents say, hey, I've been an Anglican or Baptist. That was what my father said. So we had to go to the Baptist. But before then, one Baptist pastor whose marriage is shaky. You now put your hand. No, no, no. Some of you, people have put different hands on your head. Your head has become confused. Every guest speaker must put hand on your head. When they call word of prophecy, even if it's not your own, you shall come out. What are you looking for? And you attend a word church. Look at Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his first son was Joel, the name of his second Abia, they were judges. Verse 3. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgments. Let me mention one more. Apostle David. Baba David himself. The one that God loved. Look at his family life. He was the same person that produced Amnon. Amnon that raped his sister. He produced Adonijah. He produced Absalom. David was a failure in his family life. Even though mighty. I love David. After the Lord Jesus, he's my hero. But I've learned a lot from his family life. And you know it was Samuel that mentored him. Saul mentored Samuel. Samuel mentored David. See. Who is your mentor? Be careful. I have so much to share with you, but I need to close now. So let me mention just four kinds of parents. Number one, we have absentee parents. Absentee parents. They are never there. They are the general manager of this, CEO of that, chairman of that. They are everywhere preaching. They are this. People hail them. They are in politics. They are that. Absentee fathers and mothers. Some of them are even at home, but they are not present in their children's lives. They're not present. Let's watch out. The second type, permissive parents. They are there. Anything, my children, why are you doing this? I will beat you. That's all. I visited my daughter. She doesn't live here. And I was pampering the children, my grandchildren, giving them chocolate, giving them. She said, Mommy, you are spoiling these children. Ah. I said, it is my ministry and responsibility to spoil them. Do you know what grandchildren mean? Ah. This thing is sweet past children, oh. She said, but this is not how you raised us. I said, it is my responsibility to spoil them. It is your responsibility to train them. So let's be present in our children's lives and let's not be permissive. I will beat you. I'm warning you. I will beat you. That's not a great life. You're 2-year-old. You're 5-year-old. You beat and the child beats you back. There is a problem. In case nobody tells you, there is a problem, oh. Fire on the mountain. Say, she's just playing with me. No. That baby knows what he or she is doing. Your child should never beat you back. Never. For no reason. Don't be a permissive person. Be firm. Be friendly. Be gracious. Punishment is different from discipline. I'm not saying you should punish them, but you must learn to discipline your children. When our kids were young, if I look at you, just look. Oh, to get here. I come close, I press your leg like this. When I hold your hand, shopping has ended, daddy, let's go home. Let's go home. But these days, you are winking. The man said, what's wrong with your eyes? Okay, then baje alone. Plantain is getting rotten. And we're saying it's getting ripe. Evening. It will show in the evening. To show. Do not be permissive. There are things your children should not watch on TV. I don't care what anybody feels. They are your children. If God has not led you to go and live abroad with your children, don't sell your properties there and go there. If you don't want to lose your children, please, I beg of you. If you are led, then God has gone ahead of you. God's grace has gone ahead of you. Because that place you can't beat. My advice is let your children at least have first degree or at least school certs. Let them have some solid foundation. Now when you raise your voice, the child understands what you are saying. Permissive. Number three, abusive parents. Number one, absentee parents. Number two, permissive parents. Doesn't matter, everything, just take. Number three, abusive. There's nothing they can't use to beat their children. Bad. When your child is a teenager, glass cup will drop. They are children trapped in adult body. So you need to understand. It's not everything you beat and beat and beat until the child fears you. until the child, not reverential fear, until the child can no longer trust you. The child can no longer confide in you. Particularly fathers. I paid your school fees! These days, mothers too can pay school fees. So it's no longer an achievement, sir. No longer an achievement. Don't be abusive. And the greatest thing you can do for your children is to love their mother and let them see it. Some of you, when last did you hug your wife in the presence of your children? Maybe I'm getting to my note for tomorrow. When last did you carry your wife from the floor? And your children are watching. Hey! You are too busy. You are too busy. And number four, participatory parents. Number one, abusive, absentee parents. Number two, permissive. Number three, abusive. And number four, participatory. When our children were going to get married, my husband had sessions with them, each of them. We have two boys and two girls. We're two men and two women now. He had sessions with each one. This is what a man likes. This is what you should do to help your sex life. This is this. This is that. This is that. Participate in their lives. Your daughter as a man should be able to whisper into your ears that a boy toasted me today. High five. And that doesn't mean that you won't be firm. Participate in their lives. Some of you have never bought one Bible for your children. You've never. You don't have the time. You don't even understand. Don't raise your kids the way you were raised. That's why we have conferences like this. Please take note of these things. So many things that I have. But please, permit me to say this final one. Four things that you must do for your children. Number one, pray for your child. Pray for your child. Like that scripture that I read to you in Isaiah 14 verse 21. When I encountered it, I had to use Jeremiah 31 verse 29 to counter it when I was praying for my children. Jeremiah 31 verse 29. In those days they shall say no more. The father has eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. Thank you. Just give me a few more minutes. I'll be fine. If they say prepare a slaughter because of the iniquity of their father, I stand upon the word of God and says, the fathers have eaten a sour grape. The children's teeth are no longer set. Therefore, by the blood of the Lamb, any sin that I have committed on my husband or anything that runs in our generation, you will not partake of it. By the blood of the Lamb, you must learn to do warfare. If you pick up my phone, you will see alarms when I pray for my kids. It may be for 3 seconds. It may be for 30 minutes. But you must set your alarm while you are driving or something. Mention their names. As a single person, I started praying about who my children will marry. Single. I didn't even know who will marry me. At a point, I went to the market. I used to live in Ibadan, Dugba Market. I bought this tiny pair of shoes. I will hold it in my hands and pray and pray and pray. I make sure all my kids wore those shoes. You need to pray. The day you get pregnant, start praying. As a single person, pray ahead. I prayed about my mother-in-law. She died at 110, blessing me. She told me, raise your right hand. I did. She said, among your mates, this is how you will stand. There are forces working for me. That's why I can't come down. Seeds have been sown. So it's important for you to pray for your children. As a woman, you have two communication gadgets, your breast and your womb. Lay your hands and pray. Every child that ever sucked this breast, you will not go to hell. Every child that ever laid in this womb, you will not miss it in marriage. Because let me tell you the truth, no matter what you invest into your children, if they miss it in marriage, 90-something% of their life is gone. There's no peace in the evening of your own life too. You pray as a man. You prayer cover your children. Once in a while, you carry anointing oil or communion. You break the bread on behalf of your children, their academics, everything that has to do with them. You pray for them. Nobody can pray for your children like you. That was how God started Mother Summit that has become a phenomenon all around the world now. I'll leave my kids' room open. 2 a.m. I'll go. Carry anointing, anoint them every day. Prayer covering them. Pushing them. You will be married as virgins, male and female. And that was what happened. In this wicked, terrible world, we still have a remnant. My in-laws will call me. I just want to say thank you for the kind of woman where you give my... They are blessing us. Peace in their marriage. Prayer cover your children. Prayer cover your marriage too. I am a truly, happily married woman. Even the devil in his craziest state knows. If you see him, ask him. I'll share a few things with you tomorrow. Please pray for your children. Use the scriptures to pray for them. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you, in school, in your career, everywhere. There is what you call evil substitution. I don't have time to go into some spiritual warfare analysis for you. Evil substitution. Somebody is supposed to die. They will not carry the child and swap. You see, it was this one that got drowned. It happened in Houston, though. Your children are riding bicycles. You are not devil conscious, but you are just territorial. You're just saying, Satan, no parking. You can't touch this one. This one is anointed. The devil tells you, you know, you had that child out of wedlock. The past is past. God does not consult my past to determine my future. Everything that has my signature is winning. Future things are very real. When our marriage was very young, every time I was serving my husband food, I would pray over it. I would make sure saliva enters. After all, he kisses me. Felix Adejumo, you will love me till I see Jesus. Then I will serve the food. My husband will eat. Okay? Thank you, darling. I don't even know. I'm just loving you. I said, we thank God, sir. We thank God. Some of you quarrel too much. Pray for the man. Pray over his shirt. Pray over his comb. Pray for your children. They say they don't understand mathematics. As you are getting a teacher, pray. Excuse me, please pray. Let's restore the fire on our altar. Every time I go to Israel, I buy the prayer shawl. Put it on my head. It's time to pray. I pray for my children. Pray. You can do it. You don't need to kneel down to pray. You don't need to kneel down. Reverend, can I have a few more minutes, please? Okay. Thank you. Pray and cover your children. Pray about their future. Your child is about to get married. Pray. Your bum bum go sit down for husband's house. Eleni ni oni duro die. No sister in law will frustrate you. But in law mo fadura si. But in law mo fadura si. Mo fa lorun so e o mo fa. Before the wedding day ni o. You have uti gbati won madura. You finish them in the place of prayer. What your small hand cannot manage, put it in the hand of the El Shaddai. Think now, small thing. 2 years after my daughter got married, as a virgin, she didn't have a child. She came to me one day and said she was always seeing this particular relation in her dream who was sucking and all that. She said, Mommy, should we go and beg? I said, you are born again now. I know sometimes pressure comes. I said, you know what? I have been sleeping. I said, go back to your husband's house. Go and be sleeping with him. Let me fight on your behalf. I took it over. Then she got pregnant. When she was 4 months, I quickly Mother Nana, we changed the ticket. When the dream was about coming back, sent her to Houston. The day she was going to deliver, I was in my quarter. Not Nika now, quarter. What is makeup? Makeup. No makeup, oh. I sat at the entrance of the delivery room. I was pushing in the spiritual. You will not die with this pregnancy. Everybody that is an agent of the devil, go and leave. Get out of that room. Get out of that room. Get out of that room. You will not be a victim of medical error. He said, come and eat. He said, yes, I said, eat. My second daughter, she had a set of twins. And her mother-in-law is also very spiritual. We were both in the room. She was praying. I didn't know she was dying. When they brought the babies, baby A, baby B, two boys, I said, Lord, I thank you. I was still on the floor because I just felt something was wrong. Later, my daughter said to me that she was going. And the anesthetist, the doctor looked at, said, something is going on there. Something is going on there. And the anesthetist said, hold my hand. It was that hold my hand that brought her back. Because the mother was on the floor praying. Am I crediting the water? No. But you must do your best. And now leave the rest with God. When her mother-in-law was saying, I said, my daughter is still there. We cannot. Some of you, you have too many friends. One in Calabar, one in Wuse, one in this. Madam, you don't the old though. Enough of quarreling with husband. It is time to now enter into a season where you battle for your seat. He said, what I suffered, you will not suffer it. He said, nobody stays in husband's house. Not me. My case is different. Your mother raised you as a single parent. Your father died when you were young, and it was only your mother. And now the devil is trying to be funny with your husband. You pray. You notice some traits in your son-in-law's life. You pray. In some families, it is the wife that feeds the husband. How can your child be 30 and she's not married? Madam, let's start praying. This year, she will be married. You set your alarm, 2 a.m. You are awake. It doesn't matter what name you call me. You remove your dress. You are naked. Baba is sleeping. It doesn't matter. You are the mother. You lay on the floor. Father! Remove this shirt. That was how I got my own. How can my child be married and not have a child? And that is one of the graces of God on my life. The devil wanted to attack. Some of you are snoring. If this is the only thing I can do here, wake up, madam. Daddies, wake up. Wake up. Have the number of children you can only afford to take care of. I'm looking for a boy. I'm looking for a girl. Those days. We have left that school now. Anyone God gives us, fantastic. Bishop Benson Dawuza, Mrs. Benson Dawuza, is that one not better than 1,000 children? My father looked at me and said to me, you are better than seven sons. Girl. In fact, these days, you must have a girl. This altar is anointed, though. Pray for your child. Number two, love your child. Psychologists have discovered that when you love teenagers and you hug them, life becomes easier for them when they are going through that stage. Fathers, hug your teen girls. I'm not talking about demonic fathers. They are not here. Hug your children. Those days, my husband would put the kids in the car. He would drive from Akure to Ife. Make them sit down. University of Ife, sit down. He will tell them his life story. He said, darling, don't worry, you stay at home. He developed a relationship with them. All our children, my husband wrote letters to them. I remember very well. Our last born, he said, you were the one we all waited for before we took off into greatness. The day our children get married, on their engagement day, that is when I always bring out their file and hand it over to them. Nursery school, secondary school, all their results. the letters, did this one, that one, present it to them. Let them go home with good memories. Up till now, my husband sings for our children. Our children have children. Our last born, she turned 28 2 days ago. She has 3 kids. My husband will pick the phone and say, Oluwa told me, Oluwa told me, Oluwa. So when the children pick the phone, they are even waiting for the song. That is. Hello, hello. Mon lo si Germany. Hello, hello. I'm on my way to the airport. No time for your children. You are so busy. Let me tell you this. It happened in Ondo State. One man died. The children removed all the car keys, all the house keys, all the room keys. They put it in a bunch and they opened the casket, placed it on his chest. Daddy, daddy, you forgot your keys. True life story. What memory will your children take? Live your life in such a way that your children will not have to lie on your funeral day. He was a great father, and they know. Riddance to bad rubbish. Love your children. Number 3, know your child. Children differ. That a child failed mathematics does not make that child a failure. Stop comparing your children. If you see your brother, if you say, no, you demoralize them. Some of our parents made that mistake. I almost hated my mother. Even after I got born again, I had to work on our relationship. Stop comparing your children. They are different. We have 4. 4 of them are differently different. Uniquely unique. Know your child. And dwell on the child's strength. And finally, train your child. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train your child. Give your children, 1, spiritual values. 2, societal values. Let them know how to respect the police. Let your child know when he's driving and the red light comes on. He should stop. He should not be rascally. Societal values. Let your children know how to genuflex or kneel down to greet elders. Societal values. Let your children know how to honor authorities. Stop using your pastor as toothpick at home. You confuse your children. And when you see pastor, pastor, we thank God for you, pastor. So the child is wondering. Double-faced. Societal values. Spiritual values. Each child, lead each child to the Lord. Give each child a Bible. Once they can understand the gospel, give them a Bible. Write it. Let your children sign that they gave their hearts to Jesus. Let your children make a vow to you that they will preserve themselves by God's grace. I've told my mother I will be married as a virgin. It is a gift I want to give to my husband. It's not to coerce them. It's not that they will go to hell if they don't get married as virgins. No, but it brings honor to you. It protects them from sicknesses and all rubbish. You're a Christian. Make it a Christian family. Let your children be free with you that they can tell you if somebody raped them or somebody is being fond in the house. Some of you leave your babies with gate men. You go and buy money. You go and buy. What are you eating? Some of you have brought your brothers into the house and they are defiling your children. You are so trusting, you have become careless. Don't allow any uncle put your girl on his laps. I don't care whether he's anointed or not. Make it a law. Tell your children, if anybody tells you must not tell mommy, that's the thing you should tell me. But if you don't befriend your children, they won't be able to tell you that. If you keep embarrassing them and exposing them, they confided in you, and then you went to tell. As your children grow, listen to me. Sometimes your daughter will tell you, don't tell daddy yet. Don't tell daddy yet. So you ask me, so what should I do? This is what I always do. My husband and I are the best of friends, and we understand. Bah. So when I give him a code, he knows what I'm saying. If she hears, parent that I told you, you won't hear any other word. Because this children will go one day. Don't tell me I should not tell my husband. So my husband too will pretend. Is he sinning? No, it's wisdom. Just like you are telling me, eh? God said we should have children. We should have children. The same God said we should have family planning. Say, where? Genesis 1:26. Be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, replenish, and subdue. What is subdue? God bless you.